Hello, it's Spooky.
Hello, it's C-Max. This is Matrimony of Madness.
We are family friendly. Yes, we are.
We are family. We are, man, who are we? We're Matrimony of Madness, right?
We are man and woman. Dated on
what did you say? Did you say we're mechanical men?
We are man and woman.
Oh, man. We are man and woman. We are gender neutral. To others who want to be gender neutral.
What is happening? This is
getting. Oh, sorry. All right. Hello. We're Matrimony Madness. I'm C-Mix. She's Spooky.
Yo.
We dated on Halloween. We got married on Halloween. And we spend all evenings talking about all things spooky. We are a family-friendly podcast with all the blood and guts. And whether it's your first time listening or you're a frequent listener, we want to thank you for taking a stab at it. I sound like a politician. Byron.
Here in my car.
Joe. Byron.
Byron.
Byron. Pete Davidson. I'm a little burnt out. Not on doing this podcast, but I'm a little burnt out on...
being my husband.
No, that's rude.
To me.
What? How's it rude to you? What are you talking about?
I'm like insulting myself because I'm so high maintenance. And
I mean, you're a little high maintenance, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. I got to watch the Florida Gators and the Cincinnati Bearcats beat two teams that they should have beat. So we're calling that a good day.
There we go. No,
I was a little burnt out because, man, like it's we've been on the Regal Theater throwback tour.
throwback tour.
Like if I was, so here's the thing. Here's where again, I'm going to be the man in the robe who just sits there. They need the idea. I give the idea. They deposit the check into my bank account.
I wish you actually liked a robe because then I would get you a cool robe.
No, I don't like robes. It's too hot. I like hoodies. So anyways,
okay.
So a hoodie is waist up, whereas a robe can literally go down to your knees. So like everything is sweaty.
Yeah, but a robe has like a huge opening in the front. You can just walk around with the opening.
Yeah,
up. But
I haven't
got a nice cross breeze.
So I'm with you, right? However, I'm not on like the hardcore gym grind I used to be on. So maybe when I get the six pack back, I'd be like, all right, I'll wear the robe. But when
because then you'd walk around in like boxers and a robe.
Yeah, but like right now, I need to get like I'm in shape, but I need to get back to where I want to be. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to wear a robe because then it's a constant reminder of you already worked out today, but you look like crap.
But at least you're comfy in a robe.
But I'm not. So here's the thing. Like, I'm really not.
I see.
You guys let us know, robes or hoodies?
I mean, I like both. That's the issue.
I like both.
I like both.
You do like both. So anyways, I'm a little burnt out just because there's just... like, if I was doing a podcast, would I be as burnt out? I still think so. Because there's just so much.
What do you mean, if you were doing a podcast?
Like,
you are
like
doing
if,
a podcast.
I'm sorry, if I wasn't, apologies.
I was like, wait, I'm so confused.
I got to get back to the robe idea, but let me finish this thought first, the burnt out thought. If I wasn't doing a podcast, would I still be burnt out? I think so, because there's just so much.
There's a lot.
There's so much content. And then, do you feel like... I'm going to talk about not the enemy. I'm going to talk about the opposition here. Do you think people who really like Christmas, right? And we like Christmas. It's good. Do you think they get... I don't think there's as much Christmas content as there is, like, spooky Halloween content.
So the reason why I don't think there's a lot of Christmas content is because people who like Christmas, which is a majority of people, but people who are, like, hardcore into Christmas... aren't excited about the Hallmark movies that come out. Christmas Bounty.
Unless you're my mom.
Unless you're, like, older mothers, yes.
Did you see that meme? We'll just post. We will do this. We'll find it. If we can find it, we're going to post. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Because it's this good. There's a meme It's a fake Hallmark movie, and it says, shoving the pumpkins up my butt.
I like it. Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
So finish your thought.
Sorry. So I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's as much Christmas content that comes out because there's really not a lot of the Christmas movies that come out are very, like, romantic chick flicks,
right.
Kind of cheesy. They usually go straight to Hallmark Channel. The ones that do come out in theaters are very romantic or whatever. The horror movies, you've got the throwback movies coming back in theaters. Mm-hmm. You've got a bunch of new stuff coming to Hulu, to mm-hmm. Showtime, to mm-hmm. Netflix, all this, mm-hmm. TV shows. You don't have Christmas TV shows. You just don't.
We do this year.
Who? What?
The Santa Claus.
Yes, you're right. Okay, but still,
But that's going to, if it's Disney Plus, it's going to be weekly.
Right.
It's not going to be Midnight Club, just drop 10
that's
hours.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, with Halloween, it's so easy for content to be made and for it to be good and interesting.
Right.
And with Christmas, it's hard to make Christmas stuff not just cheesy romantic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Now, if they're going to bring Jingle All the Way back in theaters, I'll go see that.
For 100%. I also think a lot of... Now, granted, you could argue that a lot of movies you've already seen, like the throwbacks, you can put on in the background. But I think what comes with Christmas is more that you can do the whole month. Whereas Halloween, we live it, we breathe it, but there's not much preparation for Halloween. There's fall, you know what I'm saying? There's carving mm-hmm. pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns maybe. But Christmas, there's wrapping presents, there's throwing parties where you got to make a bunch of food and you can bake and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could argue you could do that stuff for the spooky season as well, but I think for Christmas, that stuff's on the Hallmark movie is on the background.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are going, you know what? We've got Christmas Bounty 40 tonight.
Well, right.
Bring out the popcorn, the mistletoe. It's going down.
Because
you and I are like, Werewolf by Night, it's going down.
Yeah.
We gotta watch it. You know
it's
what I
mean? Going
hell,
down.
Hell, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we like, and we have to pay attention.
No, yeah.
I feel and, like, go ahead.
Well, and the other thing is also like, now granted, unless you're like super popular and you've got all the time in the world and you just don't work, people don't usually throw like Christmas parties every single weekend either. So it's like their time, I feel like the time that we spent in October is always filled with something October-y or Halloween-y or mm-hmm. spooky-y because we're going to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
We've got Mickey's Not So Scary. Mm-hmm. We've got pumpkin patches.
There's stuff we're not even doing. Like
there's even stuff.
SeaWorld.
There's even stuff in our own hometown that we're not doing.
Yeah.
There's something down the street 20 minutes away. There's like a haunted train ride thing we haven't even done yet.
Yeah.
And it's like, with Christmas,
I think Christmas does have that stuff.
They have like the light up Ocala.
Is there also potentially more time because you have a whole winter break before Christmas to do stuff also?
And maybe that's also it. But I also feel like
I don't feel like I get burnt out during Christmas. When I worked retail, I did because people were rude.
Well, that's different.
But like now, and I do like Christmas. I'm not hating on it. And I like the joy that gift giving brings and being around friends and family who are typically genuinely happier in December.
Yeah.
But like, it's October what? We're not even in the double digits of October yet.
October 9th,
and I am exhausted.
I think, and then the last
I'm
thing.
I'm tired.
The last thing before we move on from this.
And
is,
I gotta go back to the robe.
And then we go back to the robe, yes. The last thing is that.
I hear Phantom Django meows.
I know. Is I feel like with Christmas, a lot of the Christmas events happen exclusively during the weekend. So you're forced to pick something.
You are.
For October, it happens. You can go do it anytime during the week. Like, we can go to Halloween Horror Nights on a Tuesday this mm-hmm. week. So mm-hmm. it's like, it happens throughout the whole month of October. There's so much stuff to do. Mm-hmm. In December, a lot of events and things that you can do outside of your house or whatever, is usually clustered on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
So it's like, I got to pick.
So it's
which
like, okay, we have
do.
To pick. And so it's like Monday through Thursday, you can kind of just chill and not have to stress about anything, whereas opposed to in October.
I mean content too. I mean, now granted, Christmas is dedicated to the one month out of the year, whereas not necessarily Halloween, but spooky stuff is all the time.
Yeah, like, spooky stuff gets released all the time.
When the new Wednesday show is the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there is fall, but like there's spook, like Scream 6 is in January. Yeah. You know, there's
Stranger Things came out in July.
Yeah, so there's, whereas Christmas is dedicated to one month.
Yeah. So I think we just, I think.
This October especially, though, I feel like the floodgates, like, opened up.
Well, especially, this weekend, especially, yeah. This past weekend, or this past week. I feel like this past week into the weekend, a lot of stuff just kind of started steamrolling.
Because there's, and especially concerning, like, the indie scene, there's stuff we're not even going to get to or see.
I know. Yeah. I mean, Chucky was, like, my favorite thing of last 2020, year. And we haven't even started it.
2021.
2021, and we haven't even, I don't even know what year it is, guys.
You don't. So back to my idea, let's revert back.
Okay, so Robe Man.
Being the Robe Man. Regal should have done a cool, like, Carpenter Brute style synthwave looking flyer, like Regal Halloween throwback tour with all these movies on it.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. I also, like we talked about, I think when we saw Halloween, mm-hmm. I think it would have been really cool. Now, it's a lot of production and planning for them to do that, but it would have been really cool for them to show previews of that era and not previews that, are coming out.
Yeah.
But, like, to find previews from 1978, it's, that'd, like,
cool. So what we're talking about is on Thursday of this week, we saw Trick or Treat in theaters, first time ever that it was in theaters. So obviously it was our first time ever seeing it in theaters.
Our first time ever going to a theater.
Then on Friday, in the early afternoon, we were the only ones in the theater. It was awesome. We saw Halloween, the original one from 1978. And then right after we record this and get this bad boy set up to launch when you'll be hearing it, which is tomorrow on Monday, we are going to see the original Lost Boys. So we've been, it'll be like the third time we've been to the movies this week, but we didn't go yesterday to see Scream 2. I was not feeling it. I needed to decompress.
I don't even know Scream 2 was out.
I told you, but I think it just out of sight, out of mind. You just forgot.
Maybe.
So we're, you know, and I like it. I like bringing the old stuff back, but that's what I mean by Regal tour. And then after that, we're going to Halloween Horror Nights again, and maybe that's why I'm just kind of like, jeez!
I'm sad that only three people know that reference.
That's okay. They'll like it. Anyways.
Two of those people being you and I.
To the news. Also, just going to put it out there, I can't wait for Junkenstein's Revenge. It's a Halloween staple for Spooky and I. It's in Overwatch. It will be a first time in Overwatch 2.
I also can't wait.
I'm hoping they actually do it.
I'm a little nervous that they're not going to do it.
I think they can't. I think you can't not do it.
I think they can make an excuse that they're still working on...
They would get hammered.
They would get hammered, but I'm also...
The hammer. You will never... Sorry. All right, to the news. You have no news, right?
I have zero news.
That's okay. We'll do a quick speed run of the news, guys, because we do have some... Do we want to do Sinister Sneaks today or save them for next week? Because we have two reviews we have to do.
We do have two reviews we have to do.
So do we want to do news... two reviews and have it like within the hour instead of
Just do that. So we're gonna save our we have a few Sinister Sneaks that you guys may have already seen, which is fine, but we will talk about them next week.
And it's what I didn't mean to interrupt you, what just came to me is they're like down the line.
Yeah, the movies come out,
so we're not depriving like tomorrow. We're not depriving you of the Sinister Sneaks.
Yeah, if you're like, what is it? If you really want to know, like, I'll text me and I'll tell you what it is. But, like, so, it's not that big of a deal. Honestly, chill.
So, some news. I'm a big fan of the VHS series, and I want to watch them all. Because here's a fun fact about me. I'm really into, and I think you know this, I'm really into books or movies or shows that tell like multiple stories, not even like character arcs, like multiple stories, like scary stories to tell in the dark. Like if I was to write a Halloween book for young teens, adults, whatever, I would write a book like that with like multiple different,
so like short stories within one book.
Really.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like those too.
Maybe that's the AP Lit in me. Like we were big on, we were big on short stories. Like there's something we review. I'm going to talk about a short story that it reminded me of. And so, yeah, my brain is, and it's maybe because I don't like reading 400-page books anymore because my brain either checks out or becomes too analytical and it's my life.
One or the other. And I also like short stories because you feel accomplished faster.
Yes.
The reinforcement is faster.
It's the same thing with those five-hour games.
Yes.
You crank those bad boys out, you're like, I finished a game in 2022.
Like, let's go, baby.
And then you play Elden Ring and you're like, I'll never finish this game.
I'm never playing a video game ever.
So, VHS 99... this is all coming from Bloody Disgusting because they actually have partnership production rights with VHS. But VHS 99 coming to Shudder October 20th. With that announcement and some like snippets, they announced that VHS is going back to the 80s in 2023.
Oh, nice.
I know VHS makes a lot of people uncomfortable. I really like it. I'm really like involved and anxious and intense when I watch them, and I want to go back and watch them. The issue is
we have VHS 94 on our list.
Yes, but I think one of the biggest, and I love my mom, we're still in her house. I think one of the things with VHS is the sound production is really good, and I feel like watching it with subtitles and low won't produce.
I know. Well, it's because the sound production is really good, but you also like they're. I guess like I can't hear.
There's There's characters who whisper and stuff like that to creep you out.
No, for sure.
So it's, I don't know. We'll see if, maybe we'll try the original one and watch it low and see what happens. And if we're like, yeah, this just doesn't fulfill what I remember, then we'll wait. And that's just, you know, when you're building a house, you just got to make the sacrifices. And maybe that's another reason I'm kind of like lethargic is I really have to pay attention to the subtitles and stuff right now because you can't hear it because my little sister's room is right down the hall. So at our house, we blare stuff. Like, it's loud.
It's true. It is loud.
I'm deaf. So, Billy Madison, I'm deaf.
I'm deaf.
So VHS going back to the 80s next year. We talked about Scarzi and Nosferatu.
Yes.
I hope people listen to our podcast because they're like, what did he just say?
Scarzi and Nosferatu.
If they think about it, they'll get it. But apparently, you know, I forget that sometimes I'm not talking to people who just know me. Excuse me. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently, and this is coming from, trying to get my sources. I guess you could, Deadline. The premiere episode of Midnight Club set the Guinness Book of World Records for jump scares.
What?
Yeah.
How do they even... What? How are they even, like, measuring that?
I mean, per the Guinness Book of World Records.
But, like...
Apparently, there's a lot of... apparently, they objectively defined what a jump scare was.
Okay.
And then Mike Flanagan told Deadline he was going to spread some of them out. But then in the premiere episode, there was just so many opportunities to, like, have the transitions and the jump scares be where they were. Huh. So a lot of them ended up being in the first episode.
Okay.
So I'm assuming, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, I mean, they're literally using Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't.
They're not saying, we think... They're no, saying they're, it did. Is,
yeah.
So I'm assuming the source would be Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay. That's crazy.
I will let everybody know we have not watched Midnight Club yet.
We have not.
And I'm going to go out there and say that we will watch it. I don't know if we'll review it.
Sorry.
Depends on when we can get it done. She's playing with a dreidel, apparently, or something.
Sorry.
She gets
same with, yes, same with Interview with a Vampire. I want to watch it, but
yeah, man,
it's going to end up getting to the point the where when I watch it, it's going to be like not relevant anymore, so I might not even review
it. What can you do? Per THR and Universal Pictures, M. Night Shyamalan, obviously we know he's coming out with Knock at the Cabin.
Yes.
He actually has another movie tapped for April 5th, 2024, Mysterious Project Without a Title.
Okay. So, I thought it was called Mysterious Project.
That would be actually pretty cool. But so basically he's working. And I want to go out I want to go out and say that I think I would have liked Old a lot if I didn't see the whole movie in the trailers.
That's
and I think we've said this in the cast
before, too. We have talked about it on the cast. The trailers, I don't know who puts trailers together and whose job it is, but whoever's job it was
it's
to put
production,
a trailer
it's
together.
The production, it's the company that's, I'm pretty sure it's the production company and the publisher, like.
Like 20th
it's
Century
a, it's
Fox.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
But there's got to be like one person who like puts it together.
But then it's got to go through an approval process too.
Well, right, but it's like
marketing is its whole beast, you know.
Right, but like if I was like the last person to like review, I'd be like, this gives away too much of the movie. We need to cut all this out.
I agree with you, but also the movie is just them on a beach vibing. So,
well, then that's all they're getting.
Yeah, that's you know, but if you guys. M. Night Shyamalan has a special place in my heart because his older stuff is great. I feel like he helped me get into a lot of the spooky stuff. I remember spending a lot of time with my brother watching M. Night Shyamalan. We won't talk about Last Airbender. But if you guys want a more recent M. Night Shyamalan, The Visit, bro. That movie slaps.
Yeah, that movie is so good.
That movie, and I know a lot of you guys gave up on M. Night Shyamalan after Last Airbender. And After Earth, I think it was the name of it.
Yeah, the Will Smith movie.
Totally get it. The Visit is the movie to watch.
That is the movie. And that came out after all of that. So, yes.
And Old is divisive. Old is good. But it's... They give a lot away.
Yeah.
The twist is great.
The thing is like... C-Max and I will just overanalyze trailers.
We do.
So, then...
Maybe that's a character flaw on us.
Maybe. So, you know what? If y'all haven't seen it, just don't even, like, watch the trailer.
Yeah, don't
watch
the trailer.
Just
yeah,
go
that's
watch
a good idea.
The movie.
That's a good idea.
It is good. It is a good premise. But The Visit is top
tier. This is top notch. Let's see. People don't like to put their sources. We're going to say from Disney Plus themselves, because I guess they posted it. Justin Long trying to be that Scream King. He wants to earn the title.
Wow.
He's going to be in the live-action Goosebumps series on Disney+. All right,
I like it.
He's casted. He's in. We can't say what movie he was recently in case people haven't seen it.
Although, I will tell you that...
But he isn't Drag Me to Hell.
I can't
he's
stop.
He's in Tusk, and he's been in a bunch of other things.
I can't. The only whenever I think of Justin Long, I just think of Strange Wilderness, where he puts his eyelids closed, and he has the paint over his eyes. Dude, that movie is so funny.
That movie is funny.
That's a movie we need to show Kinsey.
Oh, man. So for those of you who don't know, Kinsey's my little sister with autism, and she thinks cursing is so funny. And so we've made a pact that we need to watch Step Brothers soon because I feel like she's going to be all in. We've quoted it a couple times.
And then randomly we'll be at the table, and she'll just look at us, and she'll be like, punch me in the...
Punch me in the beeping face.
And then she'll just start laughing to herself. That's awesome. It's so funny.
Your mother is going to be excited about this. I don't know how familiar you are with Anne Rice's other works.
Mm-hmm.
But, and maybe we can Sinister Sneak this next week, but I'm going to talk about it right now for, you know, maybe your mom and other people over 40 who listen to our podcast. But AMC Plus series premiere of The Mayfair, which is January 2023.
Ooh.
And that is another Anne Rice collective work.
Dude, AMC just loves Anne Rice.
They do. I mean, they might have a publishing deal.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, you never know. And then, do you have any feedback? I need to look something up real quick so I don't misquote it. It's the news I've been waiting to drop on you for a while. So do you have anything fun to say? While I look it up to make sure I don't get this wrong. Maybe you can rate my news giving so far, or what are you excited about?
What did you say that Anne Rice show was called?
Mayfair Witches.
Is it based off The Witching Hour?
I'm not sure. It could be.
Okay.
I'm going through this fast. I realize that.
No. That's fine. I was just... for those of you who don't know, The Witching Hour, although it says The Witching Hour, is still vampires. So, Anne Rice,
just so you know,
Anne Rice does love her vampires.
So, this is the headliner of the news. There's other stuff out there. Also, want to put on record, we didn't see Terrifier 2. We really wanted to. Had no idea that movie was almost as long as Avengers Endgame.
Yeah,
holy
it's,
moly.
Woo-hoo.
If you guys have seen it, please DM the Matrimony Madness or Spooky. No spoilers, but just let us know how you liked it. Let us know if it was too long. It was at our local movie theater, two showings yesterday, and they were both late.
Yeah.
And I just could not do it. So, I don't know if there's a trailer for it.
Okay.
But Mindy Kaling from The Office.
Yes.
Is producing an adult version of Scooby-Doo on HBO Max.
I think I heard, rumors about that.
I think it's actually called Velma.
Okay, yes, I did see that.
The series is called Velma.
Yes. I did see that. I didn't know she was the one that was doing it, but I did see something about that, which is pretty cool. But is it just going to be about Velma, or is it going to be about the whole gang?
I mean, the whole gang's in it because they're trying to solve a mystery.
Ah, okay. But Velma's probably going to be the main...
You would assume so.
The main bud.
Because I think it came out at New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they unveiled it. It's saying it's a series, so I'm assuming it's a show.
Okay, cool.
To premiere in 2023 on HBO Max.
Nice.
Cast is killer.
Killer cast.
You've got Weird Al, Wanda Sykes, obviously Mindy Kaling, Constance Wu.
Is Mindy playing Velma?
I think Constance Wu might be playing Velma. Okay. I know Mindy is for sure writing.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure who is voice acting Velma.
Oh, it's going to be a adult animated series. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's tapped as Velma, but it's like the mystery of Velma. So it's like,
right.
I'm not sure. You would assume some of the gang would be in it, but it's more or less Velma, not Scooby-Doo, if that makes sense, because Scooby-Doo is always the staple, you know?
No, for sure.
So we'll see. I'm super excited about it. The posters for it are super gory.
Ooh, that's exciting.
There's glasses with blood splattered everywhere.
Hmm.
Maybe not for the kids, y'all.
Well, I mean, it does say adult.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about it. I know I didn't do it much justice, but obviously we were not at New York Comic Con, so. But I'm super excited about it. Velma, HBO Max, 2023. Cool. So, we are going to jump in. Which one are you going to do first?
Let's do the one we just saw.
Okay. So, we have two reviews for you guys. We were able to watch some content. We picked probably one of the bigger ones and then one of the preferred ones that we really wanted to watch. So, we are going to review Werewolf by Night, which if you don't know, came out on Disney Plus, what, Friday?
Yes. Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. So Werewolf by Night, it is on Disney Plus. If you have a Disney Plus subscription, you could watch it. Director is Michael G. I don't want to butcher his last name.
Michael G.
And it is I don't know if you call it a short film.
I mean, I guess you could call it. It's less than an hour long.
It's less than an hour. You call it a short film, directed by Michael G. It stars Gail Bernaro, which isn't who he's in Coco, and I had to bring it up. And then it stars Laura Donnelly. So we're going to talk about Werewolf by Night, based on the comic in the 70s. So if you have not seen it, are we gonna do a little review and then a spoiler review, or how do you want to do it?
Let's just go straight into this. I mean, it's such a short.
Yeah.
Let's just go straight into spoilers. If you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's hard, guys, when we have multiple reviews to do both. So, if you don't care about watching it, you can just pop right in. If you do care about watching it, it's only 53 minutes. Take a pause. Spoiler music's going to hit. Go watch it. Check the show notes. Bring it back up. And we're back. Werewolf by Night. I've been talking a lot, and I know you just need to get better at jumping in, so I am going to give you the floor, because my throat hurts a little bit, because I've been talking a lot.
What do you mean just jumping in?
Jump in.
I have been jumping in. I've been jumping in.
I mean, like, you hate starting the reviews, and then I go, okay, let me do it. So now...
Oh, you mean jumping into review?
Yeah, jump into the review.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We just watched it. You're good. So spoiler, spoilers are off the territory. Spoiler, you could do it. You can do spoilers. So.
I can do it.
Just jump in.
All the spoilers. Okay, so the first thing I just want to go ahead and say is... First of all, is Man-Thing's name actual Ted? Is that his actual name?
Yes.
Or is that just a thing in the thing?
Man-Thing is Ted. Basically, and so this is, I like this. I'm going to feed off you. I like it. I like that we're not even reviewing. You're just asking the question. I'm in.
Okay.
It's making me manic. I love it.
Okay, but it's a...
Man-Thing is basically Marvel's version of Swamp Thing.
Okay. He's so cute.
He is very cute.
I love him.
He's a little more savage and mean in the comics.
I mean, he was pretty savage in this. He literally disintegrates people with his hands.
Okay, so basically, the difference from him and Swamp Thing is Swamp Thing still carries his consciousness and his human characteristics with him. He's just a defender of vegetation. Man-Thing, his brain, like, goes, bye, and it sometimes comes around.
I was going to say, they gave him some human qualities.
He does have... like empathy in certain situations in the books, but he's typically a monster.
Well, yeah, fair. So I really liked it. It didn't feel too short. It felt like a good length.
The length was pretty good.
The length was pretty good enough to give a storyline, stuff like that. I mean, we obviously knew something was up with.
Give us the premise.
A premise. Okay, so yes, the premise is
people who haven't watched it.
People who haven't watched it just want the spoiler review.
Well, that's what we're doing. You said spoiler review.
No, I know.
Yeah. We'll give them a premise of what it is. Yeah.
Okay, so basic... Oh, I almost knocked over that whole shelf.
Because people might not watch it and they just want to hear us talk about
That's
it.
That's true. So basically, the whole premise of this is there was this famous hunter who hunted creatures. His name was Ulysses?
I think either one. Ulysses?
Not to be confused with the Ulysses S. Grant. Okay. It's not the same person.
Wow, okay.
Okay, I was just letting people know it's not the same person. Because when they mentioned his name, I was like, is it the same person? No, it's not. So he hunts monsters. He hunts all sorts of creatures and monsters, yada, yada, yada. Well, he holds this bloodstone that protects them and does a bunch of other magical stuff.
Family heirloom, basically.
Yes. Well, he died. RIP. So the whole movie is a bunch of other hunters have gathered for his funeral, and the whole funeral is... a ritual, I guess, of who is gonna get this bloodstone. Well, it should have gone to his daughter, but his daughter hasn't been around, and then she all of a sudden showed up, and she's like, yo, let me get that heirloom, because it's mine. And her stepmom was like, nah, you haven't even been around. So she was like, well, I'm gonna hunt too. So she also joins the fight.
She also, she gives the, what's the word I'm looking for? She gives the impression that someone else, like, hardcore trained her. It wasn't her family.
Yes, because her stepmom was like, you haven't even been trained. And she's like, well, not by him.
Yeah, not by my dad.
So, basically, she has been trained in some kind of competitive battle mode.
Just, yeah, she can fight.
She can fight. So, the whole thing is a bunch of hunters who hunt monsters come together, and they are fighting to the death. Of each other if they need to, yeah. And they have to kill the beast creature that's in the backyard maze, I guess, or whatever. I don't know, the garden.
So yeah, it's in kind of like a hedge maze.
Yeah,
it almost looked like the streets of Mexico, like when they zoomed out.
Yeah, it was very these... yeah. It wasn't like it didn't
or
seem
Brazil
like a
even.
Yeah, it didn't really
lots
seem
of land
like
and
a
property.
Like a maze per se, but it was very like a huge garden with like just a bunch of areas you can go to. Mausoleums are in there.
Yeah,
like, there's a
for
bunch
sure.
of stuff. So anyways, the other main character other than Elsa, which is the name of the daughter, is Jack. He is the other main character who is played by what was his name? The guy from Coco.
Yes.
That's what I'm gonna call him. So, his name is Jack, and when he enters in, he's kind of looking around, and, you know, he's seeing all the creatures on the wall, all their trophy killings and everything, and you can tell there's something different about him. I mean, you don't, I mean, you can kind of just assume.
Gale Bernal.
Gail
Bernal.
Okay. So, so yeah, so then they fight and all this stuff. Well, and then you find out that Gail's character, Jack, is actually friends with the creature who we find out is Man-Thing.
Oh, so excited.
A.K.A. Ted. And it was really cute because he, like, goes up against, like, a hedge and, like, his hand comes out. Like, Man-Thing's hand comes out and grabs him.
Hey, buddy!
And then it was just so cute. Mm-hmm. So then they come up with a plan, and then him and Elsa team up because she just wants the Bloodstone, mm-hmm. not because she hates monsters, yeah. but because it's rightfully hers and she just wants it. And mm-hmm. she kind of hates her family mm-hmm. and hates hunters.
It's almost like a ha ha ha.
Yeah, and she doesn't agree with hunters and stuff like that. And he's there because he wants to get his friend out. Mm-hmm. He's not even a hunter himself.
He doesn't care about the Bloodstone at all.
No. So they come up with the whole idea of, hey, if you help me get my friend out, I'll just give you the Bloodstone. I don't even want it. Of course, she doesn't know that he's a monster. So, well, of course, things go haywire, and they find out that he's a monster. They lock them up together. He turns into a werewolf, mm-hmm. even though it's not a full moon.
Mm-hmm. They use the Bloodstone to transform.
Yes.
Because they end up capturing him when they save Man-Thing.
Yeah. So then he just goes on a killing rampage. And he kills everybody. She gets out of the cage also. She helps him kill everybody. And then Man-Thing comes out from the top and kills her stepmom.
Which is awesome.
It was awesome. And then, I mean, that's basically it. So she gets the Bloodstone and he saved his friend. And they had coffee together at the end. So, I mean, I guess that's a
brief synopsis.
That's the whole entire movie.
That's the whole entire movie, yeah.
In,
a little bit of a speed run.
In 2 minutes.
So give me your review. What do you think?
So
your thoughts.
I liked how gory it was. It was
for Marvel especially.
For a Marvel movie, it was pretty gory. I don't want to say like pretty gory, but there were like blood spatters. Also, it's in black and white, y'all.
It's in black and white, which censors gore in a certain way.
Yes. The only thing that's not in black and white is the Bloodstone, which just shines red.
Super cool. Super cool effect.
Yeah. But you know it's blood because, you know, it splatters everywhere. Mm-hmm. So for a Marvel movie, it was very gory. So that was a cool thing to see. And like he said, it does censor it because it is just like a deep, dark black. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty cool. I felt like there were some parts that seemed like they stretched it a little bit too long as far as pacing, mm-hmm. but it didn't ruin it for me or anything. I liked that it was in black and white. Mm-hmm. I feel like if the whole movie was in color, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much. Because towards the very last scene is in color, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool to see mm-hmm. Man-Thing in color. Mm-hmm. And he has like his one little flower on mm-hmm. his shoulder.
Yeah.
So that was cool, but again, if the whole thing was in color, I don't think it would have given the same effect.
That makes sense.
But I liked it. I don't know if I could be like, oh, if they did this or they did that, I would have liked it better. Mm. Not that I can really think of. Mm. I mean, I also haven't had much time to digest the movie.
That makes sense, yeah. But, you kind of jumped right in.
Yeah, but, I mean, for what it is from where I'm at right now, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm just kind of taking it as it is. It was fun. It was a short little 53-minute movie with gore, and I wish we could have seen a little bit more Man-Thing mm-hmm. as far as, like, him killing people or, like, him even defending himself mm-hmm. a little bit more. That would have been nice to see. I feel like we saw a lot more, like, humans fighting than they did monsters fighting.
So, I think it's a good time for myself to take over.
Okay.
Because what I, unless you're not done.
No, go ahead.
Because a lot of the themes in the, so in the comics, I'm not going to talk forever, but in Werewolf, like, Moon Knight's first appearance is in Werewolf by Night. And some of his story is when he meets Jack, he was hired to hunt Jack, but then learns that Jack's not really a monster, so then defends him. Mm. So I think Werewolf by Night, with the overall theme of the book, was humans are really the monsters.
Right.
Not the actual... So I think that was the portrayal that they were trying to give off. It was the underlying theme is that, hey man, Jack literally comes in, and you know he's the werewolf if you know it's Jack, because his name is Jack in the
books. Yeah.
So Jack comes in. He's not boasting about his kill record. He's not coming off as narcissistic in any way. He's just kind of looking around. He's admiring.
Yeah.
He's admiring the...
The trophies.
The trophies, whereas everyone else is kind of not paying attention to them. You know, they're desensitized to the killing, obviously. They're bragging, they're boasting about their records.
It was funny because, real quick, as a side note, one of the characters asked Jack, are any of these trophies yours? And he goes, no, but I fought that guy a couple times. Yeah. And that was just kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. And then he said he has 100 deaths, which is because he kills humans on accident.
Yeah, he's killed over 100 people.
So I think the reason you didn't see Man-Thing and the werewolf as much is because the overall theme was trying to arc with the book is that, you know,
they're
fighting for power, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. They're already hunting and they're already doing the killing. They just want to be, they want to have this stupid title.
No, like
they
want to possess for the, sure.
I'm the Bloodstone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
so
stupid, yeah.
I think what we did see of Man-Thing and the werewolf was exceptional, especially in black and white.
Yeah.
There was one, the Marvel does sometimes drop the ball on the fighting choreography, and I thought the choreography was awesome.
Especially
very good.
Especially that shot in like that weird like tunnel area
where the werewolf's like doing flips and stuff.
Yeah, with all those army people or military people.
It was awesome.
That part was really, because a lot of it was just kind of shadowy. That was really cool.
They used the black and white and the shadow effects very well to have the combat transition. Where the reason we like Daredevil so much is the shows on Netflix is because it's a long shot of him just beating the tar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no cuts. It's him walking down a street.
Yeah.
They used the transitions with the shadows and the particle effects of the electricity.
Yeah.
To transition into Jack doing flips and fighting people. The gore was done really well with, you know, the swords and the sword goes into her head that one time. One scene that really resonated with me was when he was turning into the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Elsa, like, freaking out on the cage. And then on the background,
you see his shadow. Yeah, so that was cool.
One thing Marvel gets a lot of slack. One thing Marvel gets a lot of grief for, and I agree, is their overuse of CGI. And I'm on both sides of that argument. I feel that the quote-unquote CGI in this movie was done very well.
I think it was, too, especially on Man-Thing. Yeah. I was worried that he would look too CGI'd, but he looked more natural.
So did the werewolf,
yeah.
Big Universal Monsters feels.
Yes.
The CGI came in for Man-Thing. I feel like when you're watching Man-Thing in black and white, I feel like the CGI was so good, it was almost like, oh, this is a costume.
Yeah, that's it's,
because of it's less intensive when stuff's in black and white.
Exactly,
you have to render,
and that's why I liked it so much in black and white because it just felt more natural.
I agree.
Didn't feel like they overproduced anything because they didn't have to. It was in black and white.
It was the perfect balance of CGI with the natural atmospherical effects. Thought the story was great. It reminded me of a short story that I read a while back that a lot of people... So they've done, like, movie interpretations of this, and they've done, like, a stupid TV show that I don't even think is based on the book. But there's a short story called The Most Dangerous Game by Richard Connell, and the whole premise of the short story is this rich guy is tired of hunting animals, so he puts humans in, like, this huge pit. It's almost like that movie The Hunt that we watched that we really liked. I feel like it's loosely based on that, but in the short story, he's tired of hunting animals, so he gets humans.
Yeah, to hunt them.
And he hunts them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, animals are easy. And so it gave me that kind of feel with the anxiety of everyone fighting each other. You know, it's the man thing. If I had one critique, it's that they unveiled Man-Thing a little too soon, and that he was
in the
more,
trailer.
In the show, and that or in the movie, and that he was more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
He still was gruesome and gory, but I See, I'm the opposite of you. I felt like I wanted more human interaction, but I get it. 53 minutes, you do what you got to do.
You wanted more human you wanted more interactions with the humans?
Yeah, like hiding from each other or fighting each other. I wanted to see more of that because that was the overall theme of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I saw of the monsters, I liked. I think Man-Thing is very special, so they wanted to utilize
for sure.
him in a special
I
way.
Wish our first interaction with Man-Thing
was him killing somebody.
Was him killing someone.
That makes sense.
I wish it wasn't him with Jack.
Yeah.
I wish it was him killing someone so you're like, oh my God, this beast is crazy.
Yeah, they ain't
so then kill him. So then you're like, oh man, maybe they should kill him. But yeah. And then you start feeling the empathy.
Yeah,
towards
him. That's a good point. But you know, they did what they had to do.
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
I would say it was a slasher.
I would say it was a slasher too. I really, really liked it.
Yeah,
actually.
I did too. I liked it a lot.
He wants to do more. So I hope he finds a way to do more.
Nice.
This was very special though, so if it doesn't connect, if it doesn't click, you know, I'll add it to the list of watching it every year or whatever.
Yeah, no, I really, it was fun. It was a really fun little watch.
Cool. I agree. Definitely go check it out. So, our next review, are we going spoilery right again, or do we want to do a little bit of a spoiler, a little bit of a non-spoiler and then spoiler? How do you want to do it?
You know what? For the sake of my editing and sanity, I say we just go straight into spoilers.
Wow, okay. All right, that's fine.
Unless you really want to, then I'll chop it up.
It's very hard to do two reviews in one episode, but man, do we do it.
Well, it's also very hard to chop up and edit this in four different segments.
I understand. I understand. And you know what? It's not our jobs. So we do apologize, y'all, but we are going to jump in to our review of Hellraiser 2022. So we're coming right out of Werewolf by Night. So if you saw Werewolf by Night and you listened to this review, we are now going to jump in to Hellraiser 2022. So if you haven't watched if you haven't watched Hellraiser 2022, we're going to hit the track again real quick so you can have the time to turn it off. And then we're going to jump in to Hellraiser 2022 on Hulu, directed by David Bruckner. What's up?
If I'm doing the track, then we can do a non-spoiler.
I already said it, so let's just do a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
Let's just do it. Yeah, you already said it. Maybe I got confused. We have to do the track with a spoiler review regardless, so even if we did a non-spoiler review, we would still do something. We can't jump right into Werewolf by Night and then not put a track for Hellraiser 22. Like, they need time to shut it off, you know what I'm saying?
No, I got it.
Okay. So, yeah, sorry. Sorry if I screwed that up, but anyways, Hellraiser 2022. If you haven't seen it, turn it off. Yo, what's up? We're back. So, I was talking to a few friends without you, because that's what I'm supposed to do about this movie. And I don't have a lot to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a good amount to say, I think you should start and let me interject. Because I think I could review this movie in four sentences almost.
I mean, I don't have like a crazy amount to say.
So overall, I'll just give them the preface.
Okay, go ahead.
We don't really know if it's a reboot or a sequel or what it is. It's in the lore of Clive Barker's Hellraiser, but they've changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's kind of uncertain as to if this is a full-on flesh-out reboot. Is it a sequel? We don't know. And there's been really no definitive answer. So,
well, I think the issue that I have with answering that is I've seen Hellraiser, the first ones. But the issue is I don't remember exactly how they ended. So yeah. I don't know if we're in spoiler territory, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Daniel Vaught, is that his name? Daniel Vaught? Was it Daniel Joseph Vaught? Mr. Vaught, I'm just going to call him. I don't know if the rich
Roland.
How did I get Daniel?
That's okay.
What the heck?
Rich people names.
I know. I don't know. So, that's because Daniel Volpe was the author of Plastic Monsters.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So, anyways, so I don't know if Roland, I don't know if he, if Roland got that box. I don't know if that
I
came
don't think
from,
so.
I don't think
yeah,
it
yeah,
did.
There's nothing like that. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
So, this movie starts out with we get the premise of a girl named... When the movie starts out, we see this guy who we later learn is Roland Vaught. And he's this very rich guy, and he's basically utilizing the box, the configuration, to get to the lament configuration, to basically get to the end to where he can get his gift. And that's kind of how the movie starts, and he ends up getting his gift. And the... I always get this wrong. Is it Cenobites?
Cenobites.
I always get that wrong. I know how to spell it, but I always say it wrong. To get the Cenobites to come. Then it transitions to this young girl named Riley, who's living with her brother and his partner Colin, Matt, mm-hmm. and his partner Colin, and then I believe Nora is the roommate. And so she's living in there. I guess she's coming out of a rehab program, and she's dating a guy named Trevor, who's also come out of a rehab program. And, you know, hard times. She has a job, but she's not getting many hours. You could tell her brother has been vouching for her and providing for her. She's late on the rent. Doesn't seem like anyone seems to mind, and they're kind of working with her. But Big Brother seems to want to help, but also making her feel like crap. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's kind of flip-floppy. He's very much like, I love you, I want what's best for you, you're kind of a piece of crap.
Yeah. And Colin, his partner, is more or less like, hey, dude, like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But then they always say, like, Matt is the guy who figures it out. Very weird dichotomy in this house.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And poor Nora is just like, I'm just trying to live here, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad for Nora.
So anyways, Trevor suggests that, hey, man, there's this vacant warehouse where there's this rich guy who has a bunch of stuff. We should go steal some stuff, and then we can sell it. It doesn't involve doing drugs, but it's a petty crime, whatever. So they go, open the box. It's just the configuration there. Huge red flag, obviously. It's just this tiny box.
Yeah.
So anyways, she gets kicked out of her house, and she ends up using the box. The knife misses her, but ends up getting her brother when she comes to look for her. And then the whole process starts.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cenobites obviously show up, and they take Matt, and then she slowly starts to figure out that it's claiming the blood of the victim. They come and obviously claim the sacrifice, because it claims Vaught's lawyer when they go to visit her to ask questions, and then she ends up going to Vaught's estate, and that's kind of where the final showdown is, where it claims a bunch of sacrifices there. Long story short, turns out that Vaught was obviously studying this. He was still alive. He received a gift of sensation, which was this contraption that basically pulled at his nerve endings and made him feel a pain sensation constantly. And he hires Trevor to get Riley and her gang involved so they could claim the sacrifices, so that Vaught can reject the gift that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
Pinhead is a girl, which I was all about. She's a baddie. I love the treble and reverb they used on her voice while she was talking.
I know, that was so cool.
It was great. Very commanding. Not a lot of her, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Also with the Cenobites, I felt costumes and stuff was very underwhelming. The Chatterer to me was basically from the first. I think the Chatterer in the earlier movies looks better.
I think his mouth is stretched bigger, actually, and I think he's a little bit creepier.
The Chatterer in this movie looked like that demon thing from Evil Dead in the game.
It did. It wasn't ripped from it. He wasn't as scary as the first one.
Honestly, I made a joke. None of the Cenobites look scary at all. It looked like Halloween Horror Nights.
I mean, the other ones, not that I mean.
I mean, the earlier movies had, like, the big, beefy, girthy guy. He was scary. The Chatterer was scary. And now that might be because back in the day when I was born, that movie came out.
They
so it was
scary,
like, whoa,
yeah.
Bro. But yeah, I felt like the... I felt like... So, all right. I'll have you take over. Here's what I told my friends. Mm-hmm. And you can ask me questions. We've got a little bit of time so we can give this thing a proper definitive review. Synopsis-wise, I felt like I hit it. The overall story, other than the Cenobites and Pinhead, was here's what addiction can do to families and a cohort and people. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I felt like they kind of give up on that in certain parts of the movie. It started heavy with it, and then it kind of went away because, like, Matt disappears and Colin's still like, I love you, we're going to figure it out. But Matt would have been the one to figure it out. No, dude. Matt fooled all y'all. Like, Matt kind of sucked. Y'all are figuring way more stuff out than, like, I don't know. They used Matt as, like, the token for, look what addiction can do to ruin families. But, like, Matt wasn't helping at all, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He sucked.
Yeah, it was, yeah, Colin was the one
Colin was the one. And Nora was like, well, we don't drink when Riley's around.
Yeah, you know? And Colin was like, you should stay. Like, don't leave. Like, this is just a bad night.
When he was about to get kicked out.
Yeah.
He's like, you should stay.
Yeah, don't leave.
He's being sucky.
Yeah, it's a bad night. Stop.
It's a bad night.
Like, just stay here.
And I just, they tried to use the brother getting taken first as the, look what addiction can do. But it's like, Matt was causing the issues, I feel like. Because Riley was trying to get better. She had a job. She tells Trevor, I need to look for a new job.
Yeah.
So I can make more money to help support the house. She's on it. She only, not family friendly, sorry. She only takes pills when she gets super stressed, when she gets kicked out and she's playing, and then that's what makes her play with the box or whatever.
Yeah.
So again, well, she took drugs, so she played with the box. No, dude, she was going to fiddle with the box anyways because she was bored at a playground. Like, don't tell me that drugs made her, all of a sudden she took crazy depressant pills and she can solve a puzzle. No, that's not how it works.
The drugs just relaxed her is what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It just sedated her.
So that was the overall theme that they were trying to show with the separate story on the side of Har. I felt like they just gave up on it, or it didn't make sense sometimes because Matt was the issue, but then Matt was the, in my opinion, working behavior. I overanalyze everything. I'm sorry. Matt was the issue. He dies. And then I feel like she figures everything out by herself.
Yeah, I think also what they were trying to, maybe what they were also trying to do is her, you know, being obsessive over trying to solve it and trying to get Matt back was her one way of having control over a situation because she didn't have control over anything else. She didn't have control over her addiction and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's also...
No, I'm with you. I get that. I thought it was lackluster. So my couple, what I told my friends, and I didn't really have a lot to talk about it because for those of you who don't know, Spooky and I try not to talk about stuff before the cast so we can make it organic. It hurts sometimes. This one didn't really hurt at all. Nope hurt a lot.
Yeah, Nope did hurt a lot. That was tough to not talk about.
This one doesn't hurt at all because here's my couple sentence review. The movie was well done and well made. Boring AF. This movie was so boring.
So
I was bored.
So I don't know if you remember, but when I had you watch the original 1987 Hellraiser, you were also bored. I don't think you like these movies.
So what I can vouch for with Hellraiser is it came out in 1987. It was gorier than this movie.
No, it was. It was.
It was way gorier.
It was. And I mean, the original one wasn't all about having to sacrifice seven people or six people.
Yes, so this one...
This one added a different element. The other one was basically...
They were mean.
Yeah.
They tricked... In the original Hellraiser, Pinhead didn't care. He'd be like, yeah, go ahead and give up this person and I won't kill you. Ha ha ha, gonna kill you anyways. Like, there was no remorse at all. They were...
No, I'm pretty sure there was with his daughter.
I promise you. And I don't make promises. Maybe, I think in Hellraiser 2, and you guys can quote me, you guys can correct me. There's one instance where he allowed it, but I'm telling you, a lot of the times he was the original Pinhead was tricking people.
Yes, but they did have, with his daughter, because I'm pretty sure he messed with the box and then his whole body got destroyed or whatever, and they were trying to fix him. And they were going to go after her or something. And he gave mercy to her for him or something. There's something where, like, he wouldn't kill her.
There's several instances of him saying he's going to give mercy, though, and then he just kills that person anyways.
Yeah, but he doesn't kill her.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate. And this is why I did want to watch the original first, and we didn't. And that's on us. So please feel free to correct us. I'm pretty, like, I remember vividly him being way more mean.
Well, he was.
This Pinhead wants to bargain and is like, gets off almost on the bargaining chip of, well, I've got your blood, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But then follows through with the, you know, follows through with the bargain. I don't feel like the old Pinhead would. Also, in the first movie, and we have to kind of compare because it's in the lore. Again, we don't know what it is, if it's a reboot or what. But the first one's way gorier and way scarier to me.
It is. It is gorier and it is scarier. And the first one, if I remember, there was no higher entity than Pinhead. Mm. In this one, there was like a higher god that they like were...
Yeah, you know what
I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
There was no higher god in that I remember.
And then in the original, any of the sacrifices could become Cenobites, I feel like. Whereas this movie...
You
have to choose power to become one. So that, and that's why I feel like it's so divisive, is it's just confusing
doing. I feel like it's just like a different adaptation of... Clive Barker's.
And that's
I feel like that's what it is.
I'm not basing my review solely off.
No, I'm not either. The thing is honestly, as soon as I saw Trevor's apartment, I knew Trevor was in on Roland.
Fair.
I was like, this dude has way too much money to be.
I saw that too.
Coming out of rehab and not having a job and needing money. This dude has a huge apartment.
Yeah, I saw. I noticed that too, and I just kind of let it go because I'm trying to get better at letting stuff go because people say I ruin movies for myself.
Yeah, I was like, nah, this... And then, like, he was on the phone, like, yelling, and I was like, nah. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I was calling the hospital to see.
No,
and I was
weren't.
Like, no, you weren't.
Yeah, no, you
so,
weren't.
Unfortunately, I knew...
It gave it away.
Yeah. I knew too far in advance that Trevor was in on it. And then, of course, as soon as he was saying, no, we have to go back to the house... Well, why? Well, because Riley's car's there. And it's like, I just was like, this is so obvious. It was too obvious.
He wasn't good at it.
He was not good at playing.
Overall, I would say if you haven't watched the first Hellraiser, then this movie, I think, will be better to you. And I'm trying to separate them. But if it's in the lore, I feel like you have to be able to compare them.
Yeah, it's tough because...
It's a Jurassic Worlds, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's hard because this really, to me, is a completely different movie than the first one. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the same I guess, universe, same type of whatever, the box, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I feel like... I mean, I don't know. I think I'm having a better time separating it than you are.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't hate the Cenobites. I think they were fine. They weren't as scary as the first one.
And maybe it's just the franchise for me, but, like, I was bored.
I'm telling you, you didn't care for the first one.
Maybe not.
You were definitely bored the first one.
Maybe not.
But we also watched it a long time ago.
You're right. Any final thoughts?
I don't have any final thoughts. Not really. I wish I would have seen more. This is going to sound weird, but like, I wish I would have seen more like killings or
there
torture.
Wasn't a lot.
A lot of torturing.
It was the chains over and over again.
It was the chains. Yeah. It was, you know, a little like some skinning. Mm-hmm. Some, and I know this isn't family friendly, so sorry, y'all.
I mean, it's family friendly with all the blood and guts.
Exactly. Yeah. They had like the wire, you know, constricting the.
It just, with what they could have done, it wasn't.
But when I think of Hellraiser as the franchise, because this is considered a franchise, I would say, I think of very, like, gory, you're like skin, your torture. I think of torture because yeah. that's what they are.
Yeah.
Pain to them is pleasure. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna find the most. Mm-hmm. What can a body do?
Yeah.
Before it doesn't exist anymore.
I agree.
And so to me, I don't feel like we got to see the extent that, I guess, a body can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. We did with Roland. I mean, they for put sure. that contraption. Yeah. And that was cool. That was it. Like, that was a cool thing to see, is that contraption that they put inside of him. But it's like, I wanted to see more of that. Like, I wanted to see what happened to, what was that lady in the hospital? Serena? Or, yeah.
They just don't show anything. Like really.
What happened?
Yeah.
They put that thing in her mouth. Save your voice.
No, that was Nora.
Nora.
Yeah.
No. The.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Nora was chained. The lady in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, begging for mercy, and then the girl took that thing out of that other Cenobite's eye, put it in her mouth, and said, save your voice.
I was thinking of Nora where they put
the... Oh, yeah. But she said, save your voice right. for screaming.
And then they didn't show anything.
And then I'm like, well, what do they do her?
So one of the sacrifices, they showed nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
It's very, very weird, interesting choice.
Yeah.
So we got to go see Lost Boys. So... And I don't have much to say. I'm not cutting you off right
now. No, I'm done.
I'm going to give the movie a hack and slash on the sole purpose of I think I would recommend this movie to certain people. For you guys who don't know, we review everything on a hack and slash, slasher, and the final girl scale. I'm going to give it a hack and slash because I feel like I could recommend it to certain people. I don't need to ever watch it again. But that doesn't mean it was a bad movie. Like I said, very well made. I didn't have any issues with the CGI or anything like that. I felt the premise, although lacking, was there. Very well made movie, looks good, but I just was bored. I'm not sure what Spooky gives it.
I agree with everything that you said. I don't think I was as bored as you were. I do agree with everything you said. I'm gonna give it a hack and slash for the very reason that Terrifier 2 had more torture, or Terrifier 1 had more torturing than this movie.
Well, that's not fair to base it on. You're crazy.
I was trying to make a funny joke, but I ruined it by saying Terrifier 2.
That's okay. Well, you haven't watched Terrifier 2.
I know, I messed up.
But you can't base it off Terrifier either. That's
I
not
was
fair.
Making a joke. All right,
you're a clown like Art.
Oh my God.
So guys, it was weird ending on Hellraiser because that's what we picked to do on a Saturday night, and we both were like, man, ugh. So
I didn't have that reaction. I wasn't like, ugh. But it was a little ugh. It was a hack and slash for me. I just wanted more. I expected more, basically.
So anyways, guys, we got to finish the headlining date of the Regal Crown Club tour, going to see the Lost Boys. We're so thankful for you guys listening. We hope you're having a great spooky month so far. Please check us out on the TikTok. We have a Discord, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We run polls, we run questions. We just try to interact. We just want to bring you guys some joy, bring the spook all the time, nonstop. If you haven't, please review on your favorite podcatcher. Just helps us get in the recommendations, helps us get in the algorithm. And I'm going to sign off by saying, what's in the box? Shout out to the Teen Wolves. Shout out to the Little Monsters. Have a killer week, Bye. Everybody.